All right. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 96. Jalen, I got to tell you, the early report here, this is fabulous. I just think we should probably do like 8 of them all around here, and we could just be full Beyonce. with that, Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. For he is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the Lord, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
Good morning, Jacob's Well. You know, I must say that I'm a living witness that God answers prayers. Because this fan, I mentioned it in announcements because I was jealous of this fan over here. And Andy, is this you? Andy, this is you. You know what, Andy? God used you this morning. Yeah, clap it up, clap it up, clap it up. You know? You can't tell me my God ain't real. You can't tell me he ain't real. This is an answer to prayer. This is nice. I'm not going to put it at, I'm a experiment with the speed throughout the sermon. So if y'all just see me, you know what I'm saying, doing stuff over here, it's me trying to figure it out. Anyways, we are still in our Psalm series this summer. And I love how Scott set us up a few weeks ago with saying that there are three categories of Psalms, right? Psalms of orientation, disorientation, and then of reorientation. This morning, we're going to be looking at a psalm that I think is a psalm of orientation, right? David this morning is trying to get us to orient our attention on the identity and purposes of God. And I cannot wait to dive into this text with you. But before we get into that, let me offer up a prayer to the Lord. God, we are so grateful this morning. We're grateful, oh God, because you are our God. God, we belong to you, and you belong to us. You are our Father in heaven. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you will reveal to us what you would have us receive this morning. Reveal to us your truth, your identity, your word. And Lord, help us to diligently apply your word to our very lives so that we can embody who you are to the world. We desperately need you, oh God. And we cannot say that or understate that. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Psalm 96 is a worship psalm written by David. Psalm 96 is a hymn that is celebrating how God's kingship over all creation means that all the people of the earth, Israelites and Gentiles, Christians and non-Christians, should love and worship God. I love this morning because David is commanding all of God's people to sing a new song. Music is wonderful. I love music. Music has a way of getting into us, doesn't it? Right? When we're listening to music, it provokes the listener to do some strange things sometimes, doesn't it? It can provoke the listener to do a little dance move and bust a move real quick. It can provoke the listener to sing along in a way to where we think we singing so good, we sound just as good as the recording, but we turn that recording off, we sound terrible. It has a way of deluding us into thinking some strange things sometimes. But music is powerful because music has the ability to change our mood, to change our attitude, to even change our very outlook on life. And David says, I want you to sing a new song because music has a way of getting into us. It has a way of making us remember lyrics even when we don't want to remember lyrics. I don't know about y'all. I'm not a huge Hamilton guy. It's a hot take. I know, boo, 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 blah, 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 right? But you know what? It's interesting because I've seen Hamilton so many times because people in my life love Hamilton. So I've seen it so many times. And can I tell you that I'll be walking around my house saying, Angelica, Eliza, Peggy. It gets on my nerves. But it's the power of music, isn't it? Music has a way of getting into our heads, getting into our minds. And David says, the same way Angelica get into your head, I want the word of God. I want the truth of God to infiltrate your consciousness. I want the truth of God to get into your mindset so that you can have the proper outlook and perspective on life. David understands that because music is so powerful, he says, I want to use one of the most powerful mediums and forms of expression to compel you to remember who God is. Now, you might say, Jalen, what if I can't sing, right? The good news this morning is that God is not looking for a Grammy recording artist to sing to him. God is not looking for a true harmony, a great, great, great singer to really sing to him. What God is looking for is a humble heart that is willing to come to him and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you more than anything else, right? And songs are so important for David because songs have a way of allowing us to remember the fundamental truths of who God is. Because there's something about declaring out loud who God is. There's something about quite literally crying out loud to God about what we need. There's something about expressing that we are a needy people in need of a worthy God. We are a needy people in need of a powerful God. As we've been going through the Psalms, something I've come to love about David is that we recognize that one of the main themes, one of the main takeaways from the Psalms is that we realize that what David asks for the most, what he sings about the most, what his primary request usually is simply God. David asks for God over and over and over again, right? And I love how even in a wilderness situation, even when things are going good, David asked for God. I want to give you Psalm 62 real quick. Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2, right? David's in the wilderness. He's on the run. He's not in a good situation. And I want you to listen to these first two verses, these first few lyrics of this psalm. David says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From God comes my salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Notice that David, in the midst of a wilderness experience, is not asking for food or shelter. David asks God for God, right? David recognizes that if God is all I have, then God will be everything I need, right? That's the fundamental truth that David is trying to articulate throughout the Psalms. It's okay if God is all you have. Because if God is all I have, then God will be everything I need. David recognizes that God is the source, right? God is the source of all things. So if I have God, then everything I need will spring from his power and from the relationship that I have with him. In other words, David is saying that if you have God, God is enough. Maybe David wants me to say it more emphatically. God is more than enough. God is everything. God is everything that we need. Now, this brings us to why do we need to sing a song? You know, when life start lifing, when life begins to life, you know what we do? We tend to forget who God is. We tend to forget that God is in control. When things get chaotic, when things get confusing, we get anxious, we get fearful, we feel this need to seize control over everything. We feel this need to take over. And God says to us, do you think that's the right move? God says to us, I know you feel that the only option right now is for you to take things into your hands. But he says, are you sure about that? Right? David says that when we sing songs in the midst of any circumstance, it reminds us of the truths about God. When I'm able to sing a song that gives worship and praise and glory to God, it changes my song from yesterday, which was a song of despair, and the lyrics of the song changes, and now I have a song that cultivates new hope. Because the content of my song, the lyrics have changed. And David says, I want you to be carefully aware of what you're singing, and I want you to be carefully aware of what you're listening to, right? Because, again, music has a way of getting into us, right? Music has a way to make us contemplate the lyrics in such a way to where we might be singing lyrics ignorantly, not knowing what they really mean, not knowing what they're actually saying, ignoring the toxicity of these words. David said, I want you to pay careful attention. I want you to sing a new song, a song that points you in the direction of God and points you in a direction of real and true hope. This brings us to our psalm this morning, Psalm 96. Is meant to orient the attention of Israel to the identity and purposes of God. David says in verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Now, we have to realize in this moment, David is saying, I want you to sing of God's greatness. I want you to sing of God's goodness, and I also want you to sing in such a way to where you tell somebody else about who God is, right? This is great, because David said, we don't sing songs to God just for our own benefit. We don't sing songs to God just to make us feel good. We sing songs to God to align ourselves with the purposes of God, right? So he says, one of the lyrics you can sing to the Lord is that I will bless your holy name and I will tell of your salvation from day to day. I love this because it brings into focus. I need to stay over here by this fan. I'm already starting to sweat. Oh, that mercy. But I can't stop walking around. I love this verse because it brings into focus, right, that salvation is not a one-time event, right? David says, from day to day, tell of his salvation. Salvation, right, is this, the ramifications of God's salvation, of Christ's salvation for our lives, goes on forever all the way to eternity, right? And I feel like you may say, well, you know, Jalen, you want me to tell people about how the Lord saved me? I don't really have a Red Sea kind of story. I don't have a parting of the Red Sea story. I ain't got no big time godly miraculous story. I just chose to love God, and here I am, right? And here I am. Amen, somebody just said. And the reason I think somebody just said that is because that alone is worth telling. Right? Because here's the thing. If you knew who I used to be, right? If you understood the ways in which God has transformed my life, right? That is a story worth telling. See, God saves me every day from making sinful choices and awful decisions. God saves me from every day. He sanctifies me. He prunes me. He transforms me. He continues his salvific work in my life on a daily basis by allowing me to overcome my sin and choose him over my sin. Right? And that is worth telling. That is worth sharing. So we have to, David says, you need to understand the gravity of God's salvation in your life. Understand that without God, you would not be who you ought to be. You would not go where you ought to go. And then it says, verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. I love this because this reminded me of a song we used to sing in the black church. Because, again, you may be looking at yourself like, ugh, marvelous works. What marvelous works have I seen? We used to sing this song called Miracle. It says, every time you look at me, you're looking at a miracle. Every time you see me, you're looking at a miracle. The way I used to walk, the way I used to talk, I guarantee you, you're looking at a miracle. I was messed up. I was dirty by my sin until God came into my life and turned my life around and put my feet on solid ground. Every time you look at me, you're looking at a miracle. So that within itself, my testimony is a marvelous work, not because of what I've done, but because of what God has done for me. That is a marvelous work. So, and David said, that marvelous work is worth sharing to all people. Now, I thought about this. I said, Lord, I should really do this more, right? I should tell folk about you. But you know, man, I get to work. I get to do in my life. I don't know, man. I just be forgetting, I guess. And God says, you know, Jalen, I want you to start talking about me the way you talk about your morning commute to work. I want you to start talking about me the way you talk about the breakfast you ate this morning. Right? What do you mean? Jalen, when you go to work, we go wherever you're going, and you're talking to folks, they might ask you, hey, Jalen, how's your morning going? Rather than saying, well, you know, the commute was terrible, traffic was awful, what if you said, you know, when I woke up this morning, I said hello to the Lord. And when I said hello to the Lord, it allowed me to think about this day. This day that I don't really want to go to. There are meetings I want to go to. I'm a little annoyed by it all. But in talking to God, in going to God in prayer, in listening to worship music, it reframed my perspective on this day. The commute this morning was annoying, but what made it better was me communing with God. It gave me a fresh outlook. It reminded me of his salvation, and it gave me a grateful heart for where I am in my life. I want you, see, Jalen, he said, if you normalize me in your life, then it will be easier to normalize me in discussions on the outside world, right? So I need you to build a solid foundation in relationship with me at home, with me anywhere you are, and when you build that solid relationship, you will be surprised how that will outpour into your regular life, into your regular discussions with people. It'll just come out. It'll just come out. It's been a long day. Bro, how are you managing? How are you managing it all? Man, I can I be honest with you? I'm praying through it. I'm praying my way through it, right? And see, often we're so scared of the ramifications of that because we're like, are people going to think we weird? They're going to think we strange? Why are you telling me? I didn't ask you all that. Why are you telling me all that? And see, we have to realize I'm telling you all this. One, God told me to tell you. And two, you need to hear it, right? You need to hear it. Because see, here's the thing. We have to be a mirror to folks, right? Because see, when they see that we put our faith in God and they see how that impacts our attitudes and behaviors and perspectives, right? That's going to make them reflect on, what am I putting my faith in, right? What am I, like what horse am I getting behind in my life? Am I putting my faith behind the right horse? Am I putting my faith behind the right thing in my life? Is it okay to put my faith behind, put everything into my job, my education, my marriage, my children? Is it my pleasure? Is that all right? Right? But see, the world will not contemplate that. The world will not consider these things if we don't tell them who God is and how God has done a marvelous work in our lives. Verse 4, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Amen, absolutely. Verse 5, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. I love this part. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in sanctuary. I love this right here. So in the ancient Near Eastern context, right? Every nation held a claim for a god, right? There were two questions that took precedent in the ancient Near East, in the ancient world, right? Two questions. Number one, how powerful is your god? That's number one. Number two, does your god rule all the other ones, right? How powerful is your god? And does your god rule all the other ones? So Israel says, yo, our god's so powerful, he overtook an empire, literally overthrew everything, parted the Red Sea, set us free. We have borne witness to the power of God, so we think our God is very, very powerful. And you asking us, does our God rule everything? Well, see, here's the thing. So in the ancient Near East, they had sun gods, moon gods, earth gods, all kind of gods, right? Israel is like, yo, check this out. We ain't got a sun god over here. We ain't got a moon god. We ain't got no earth god. But we do got this. We have a God who created the sun. We have a God who created the moon. We have a God who created the earth. Our God rules all. Our God is creator of all things, therefore making him the best god over all other gods. And they're like, word, word, big dog, word. Yo, God can do all that. My God can do all that. Right? And let me tell you something. There's plenty of good room over here with this guy. See, what you fail to realize yet is that our God created you. Our God created you in his image with a purpose and with a destiny. And there's time for you to come on over here and believe in the real God. Believe in the true God. See, this is why David's saying, we gotta tell people about our God. Because, see, David understands that the world has these idols. Even in our own today's context, right? people idolize different things, right? An idol, what does Bishop Keller say? Bishop Keller says this. An idol is when we do what? We take a good thing and turn it into an ultimate thing. There's only one thing that should be ultimate, and that is God. We have a single-minded allegiance only to God. Nobody else fits. They are saying, tell about the real God so that people can recognize the gods they serve. Because see, it's easy to go through life and idolize stuff. It's easy to go through life and have this allegiance to material and worldly things. But see, when we bear witness to our God, we're holding up this mirror to the world. And they're looking at us saying, it's interesting that you don't put all your stock in this job the way I do. It's interesting how things are so stressed right now at work. And I see you stressed out, but there's an easiness to you. There's a peace about you. There's this joy about you, right? And I ain't got it because I'm putting all my stuff into this job. But something about you is a little strange. What is that? And see, God is saying, that's what I want the world to do. I want them to ask those questions. And I want them to see you, because when they see you, you're guiding them to the answer. You're guiding them to the answer. So, church, we cannot be afraid. And I also want to say this, too, just real quick. We can't be afraid of being outcasts in the world. One, because God told us to do it. We got to be obedient, right? And two, right, the church exists for this very reason, right? You're never going to be alone in this call to bear witness to God, right? You're always going to have the family of God who's going to come around you and love on you well when things get hard in the world. But the stakes are too high for us to stay quiet. The stakes are too high for us to respond in fear, right? Respond by simply telling the testimony of the marvelous work that God has done in you. Respond in that way, okay? So God's like, yo, them idols, they worthless. I love that verse 5. Worthless idols, they ain't about nothing. But me, I'm about their business. Now, verse 7 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Now, this is interesting. So, the Old Testament here, David here, is casting a phenomenal vision of the future of all Gentiles. It's interesting, right? Because David's saying, if we hold up our end of the bargain and we tell the nations about the splendor and majesty of God, right, what's going to happen is that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the non-believing people in God, they are going to one day ascribe to the Lord his true name. They are going to one day ascribe the Lord glory and strength. They are going to one day go into the temple in Jerusalem and make worship offerings and sacrifices. They are going to become the people of God. David is casting a vision for the future, a prophetic word that if we do what we're called to do, the world and people in the world will come to believe in the God of Israel. And I love verse 10. Verse 10 says that when people accept God, when they receive the light of salvation, they are going to say among the nation, the Lord reigns. I love this. So this week I was at school. I was at Princeton. And I said, you know, I'm going to look up reign in Hebrew, you know, just to be a little fancy on Sunday. So I looked it up, and I was like, you know, it's interesting. I got a couple people across down the hall, Hebrew Old Testament scholars. So I'm going to go ask them what it means. So I said, yeah, y'all, I looked up what rain means in Hebrew, malak. And they were like, actually, bro, it's malak. I was like, oh, my lock, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's my lock. So I was like, all right, bet. So what does this mean? And they were like, so in the original language, it means that God rules. But it's but it's like it's describing, it's they were like, it's really describing the way God rules. It means that God is kinging. I was like, say that again. God is kinging. I was like, so here's what I hear you saying. I hear you saying that God be out here kinging. And he was like, you can say whatever you want. I was like, man, what? I was like, well, no, for real, for real. So you saying that when I started literally workshopping the sermon on it. I said, so when life starts to life, God starts to king. I was like, is that right? He was like, that sounds great. I was like, let's go. When life starts to life, God starts to king. So what that means is to say that God reigns is God reigns at all times. There's never a moment in life where God ceases to be king. He's always king. He's king over everything. He reigns over everything with dominion, power, and majesty. God always reigns. And church, can I just say this week? I said, Lord, in the midst of everything that's going on, you still reign. Can I just say that's? I wrote a song. It had two words, three words actually. God, you reign. God, you reign. I rapped it though. I didn't sing. I rapped. God, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. And see, showering myself with that truth reminded me that God will always provide. Because if God is all I have, he will always be everything I need. God is always king. So I was like, thank y'all so much, you Hebrew scholars. The original language is something else. God be out here kinging. And he never ceases to king. He's always king, right? I love that so much. God is always king. Now, we're almost done. The world is established. It should never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. I love this because this is so interesting, guys. Because so David says, he goes from talking to Israel, right, and telling Israel, spread the word. And then he says, once people accept the light, this is then what they will say, right? So David is saying that what people will learn about God when they receive the light, verse 10, they will learn that the world is established. It shall not be moved because of who God is, because of his kingship, and he will judge the peoples with equity. The new Christians, the new believers will find out how just and righteous our God is, right? I love this because it gives us such a beautiful image of what will happen when we obey God and share his word and his truth with the world. It gives us an image of that. Verse 11, 12, and 13, we're almost done. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exalt and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to the earth to judge. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. I love this because David is now casting a vision for the far future now. He's casting a vision that includes Jesus, I believe. He's casting a vision of the eschaton, right, of the end times. He's casting a vision that in the end, right, it won't be these worthless idols that will have the final say. It won't be the, I want to say a word. I'm just going to say it won't be the ignorance and, dare I say, the stupidity of human beings that will have the final word, but it will be God. It'll be God. God will have the final say. And you see, because God is God, his final say, his final word will be righteous, just, and faithful. Right? This will be the end. And it's a reminder, church, that when we sing songs to the Lord, I love the framework David has given us here. Singing songs to the Lord should remind us of God's salvation, right? It should remind us of God's purposes for our life. It should remind us of the calling we have in our lives as God's people. And it should ultimately remind us that in the end, God is the one who has the final say. God is the one who is the ultimate judge. There's hope in that because in the midst of any regime, in the midst of any administration, in the midst of any toxic or tense political environment, none of this matters when it comes to the eschaton, when it comes to the end times. None of these people have the final say in the end. God does. And when God has a final say in the end, he would do it justly, righteously, and faithfully because he reigns. He reigns. My God reigns. I encourage you this week to just say that out loud. God reigns. God kings. He kings over my marriage. He kings over my children. He kings in my parenting. He kings at my job. He kings over a broken relationship. He kings over my divorce. He kings, he kings, he kings. He does not leave us, nor does he forsake us. God will always be God. He will never cease to stop being God. As the worship team comes back up, I'm so thankful this morning that every single week we come to this table that is meant for us to remember the glorious sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? We come to this table to remember that Jesus came down to earth, as we sang earlier this week, this morning. He was heaven coming down to earth, came down to earth to die for our sins. He came and he died so that we can have new life. And we come this morning to remember that. Scripture is very clear that if you're not a Christian yet, this sacred ritual is meant only for followers of Jesus. So we ask you to come now and to remember the glorious sacrifice. And remember that through the death on a cross and through his resurrection, it was Jesus' ultimate statement that he reigns. That he reigns and he established himself as the King of all kings. So let us come now. Let us come now.